back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Come inside, come inside. It is the second best live from the five hole of the year, where we go through the Bears schedule for the first time. Just kind of a rough draft. We apologize for being a little delayed. The Thursday schedule release caught us off guard. We had some scheduling conflicts. These things happen, but we're here now, and I am Sam Fells, your host of the Sam Fells But Who's Buying newsletter. You can find me on Blue Sky at Fells Gate for the second best show of the year. Of course, we are in fatal four-way formation with the usual crew. Leading off with the doc with Dr. Viral, he is the biggest no-talent jackass in the business, and the CEO of WBCW on Wrestling Brain's Twitch channel every Monday night at 9 Central. You can find him on Blue Sky at Torque Penderloin. It's Andrew Cieslak.
So happy to be here, Sam.
I can hear it in your dulcet tones.
I'm not the one with the dulcet tones.
I'll decide what kind of tones you have.
Every week you say Matt has the dulcet tones.
Well, you both can have dulcet tones. Speaking of Matt, he is our supervising technician and our technical supervisor, and he is Hollywood's go-to grizzled crank. You can find him on Blue Sky at Matt McClure, but please don't. It is Matt McClure.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth. And last but not least, he is driving the bus tonight because he is the archivist. He is the goal line assassin. He is the oracle of Humboldt Park. You cannot find him on Blue Sky at Fifth Feather, but he might find you. He is lurking in the night. It is Fifth Feather John.
You can't see me, Sam, but I'm bowing to you right now.
I bet you are. He's got a...
in a racially sensitive manner.
As always.
He's wearing a kimono and he's nude underneath.
I mean, how else do you wear a kimono?
Befitting of all the racial sensitivity that someone with Balkan heritage comes with.
Well, I don't know that we need... I don't know that we need much of an intro to this. I think everyone who listens to this knows the deal. Before we get started, I have a small announcement, as some of you may have seen on Blue Sky today or in your inboxes. I am bifurcating the Sam Fells But Who's Buying newsletter. So part of it will be a free daily World Cup newsletter every day from here until the final. I will be writing about the World Cup. It doesn't cost you shit. Please spread it around to anyone you think might be interested. I promise it'll be silly and vulgar and weird and entertaining. And if you're not interested in any of that, but you're signed up to the newsletter and you don't want to be bothered with it, that's cool. You can sign up for the tier that's only the hockey, which is called the Neil Peart tier. And it costs the same. All you got to do is switch your account page. But please, try the World Cup newsletter. I think it'll be fun. Just like abstract dissociation that Slack and I watch on Wrestling Brain.
I hate that segment.
I like the song.
I read your preview today. It was quite good.
Thank you. So that is my announcement. Anyway, let's get on with the festivities. For those who might be new around here, although I can't imagine there's anyone, what we like to do is as soon as the NFL schedule comes out, we go through the schedule trying to predict the record. Then we let training camp and the preseason develop. We're watching intently. John is camping out at 1920 Football Drive, watching every practice. And the week before the season, we would go back through the schedule and we amend our predictions if we feel the need. And that's the one of record. This is a rough draft. This is a run-through, a dress rehearsal, but we like to do it anyway. And then come September, right after Labor Day, we will go through the schedule for real. Slack will have a bit, but he will not have a bit tonight. Or today, if you're listening to this. So Matt will present the schedule. John will lead us off every week. Let's go.
Okay, how we doing? All right. Week one, Sunday, September the 13th, after a gay icon weekend for me.
And me. You have a bigger gay icon weekend, actually, yes.
Are you guys going to a Madonna concert or something? What's going on?
He's going to Robin the night after we're going to see Sugar in Minneapolis.
Okay.
Busy weekend.
Busy weekend, but it was forced upon him in some ways.
Fate has smiled upon me.
So he will be very tired when he turns on the Fox broadcast of this Bears
game. At noon on Sunday on Fox... in Charlotte against Horny Dave's Panthers.
Two division winners to kick it off. I think the story of the schedule release, at least for me, was the fact that the Bears were not opening in Seattle. So opening in Carolina, feels like a sigh of relief. So at this point, I'm going to say that this is going to be a win. I don't see how they're going to roll down into Carolina and Horny Dave is going to suddenly figure out how to put up 50 on the Bears. I don't see that happening, nor do I see them being able to keep the Bears under, we'll say, 27 points. And I think 27 points will get it done. So that's a win.
It's a tricky game.
It is.
It is. I agree with John. I think the Panthers shenanigans, or they jump up and bite someone they shouldn't, usually happen later in the season. They will not catch a team in week one napping.
So not a Ben Johnson team either.
Yeah, the Ben Johnson Bears have never lost a week one.
No
match.
I didn't think they were napping in that week one. I just thought they were bad.
They were napping in the second half.
So, but I also predicted they'd win that game, and you know why mess with it?
Well, and with a nice segue. Speaking of which,
hey, wait a minute, Slack hasn't chimed in.
I just don't feel that it's going to be. I don't know. I think this show is difficult because I think we have a sense of what the offense is going to be. No clue what the defense is going to be. I will say that I think I am a Bryce Young truther, and that I think he absolutely stinks. So if they are optimized for turnovers again, if if Al Harris is working his magic and all that stuff, I feel like they could really make Bryce Young's day difficult. I think I would lean win on this one. I just don't think it's going to be a walk in the park.
It's funny you say that, Slack, where you say you think you know what the offense will be and you don't know what the defense will be. I actually feel the opposite.
So what do you feel the defense is going to be?
Middling to middling minus.
Okay, but there's ways to be middling minus with a bunch of turnovers like they were last year, or middling minus without the turnovers, which
I think turnovers are hard to duplicate from year to year.
You're correct.
But I think the actual structure of the defense will be a little better, but so it's kind of a balance. Less turnovers, but not quite as much of a sieve.
Well, again, they better be, or else, you know.
And again,
Dennis Allen could
this,
be fired before, you know, like week
right.
before
we're
the
doing
bye.
This before we have any idea of health and who's in and who's
camp
out.
Cuts just, and pickups.
We're just projecting full strength.
Cold here. Cuts.
Cold cuts as well. I think if everyone's healthy, they
deep
get
cuts. Kind,
they'll start out already Rock getting cuts. Funky with their blitz packages and stuff. But yeah, but I don't know what the offense will be. I don't know what it will do.
What do you not know about the offense? I guess, John, I would love you to.
Well, this will be a longer discussion when we get closer to the season, but are you familiar with the term tactics-free zone?
What?
Oh,
no.
What? No, what the fuck are you talking about?
So it's a soccer term that people use, and it's at the end of games when a team is trailing by a goal or two, and they throw everything out the window, bring on an extra striker or six,
yep,
lump everything into the box.
Love it.
So I know the Bears are good at that part, but for most of the season, when they were trying to do what it is they do between quarters one and three, most of the time it looked a little iffy. And I can't just, and that doesn't mean I think they'll be bad or I think they'll automatically be good. I just don't know.
I think it's year two. Yeah.
Yeah.
Year two, more familiarity.
Right.
Should be an improvement. Absolutely. But I don't know how much.
Where have they gotten worse that leads you to believe that this will still be a functional issue this next season?
Center, which could be an issue.
I don't know if it's
left
tackle. The drop off is TBD at center, I would say.
Right.
You don't know that it's going to be worse.
I don't.
I just don't know. We had a good center last year. We know that.
Right.
Okay.
Left tackle, possibly. Don't know. We don't know what they're doing there. Wide receiver.
Didn't know what they were doing there last year either, so that's fair.
Right. Yeah, wide receiver. I mean, these are spots that I don't know are necessarily going to be better than they were last season. Now, tight end will be better. We know this. Quarterback will be better, and that solves a lot of the issues.
Yep.
But I can't sit here and say, oh, yeah, they're going to hit the ground and roll it and putting up 31 points a game. I don't know.
If you simplify it to quarterback better, I think that covers and solves a lot of the things you're concerned about.
It does. But I'm not sitting here saying the offense is going to be bad or wonky as it was last year. But I don't know that it's automatically top five. Let's put it that way.
Weren't they top five last year?
Well, again, I've never seen a stat, and I don't know if they keep this stat, that throws out what they do in the last 2 minutes of a game.
So you're saying you want to pretend like part of the game doesn't count for some reason?
No, I'm not saying that. But like let's look at the end of the season. A lot of those, you know, the two wins over the Packers and another one I'm blanking on. Awful for three quarters and then come back. That's not a model I want them to go back to this season. Against good teams.
Well, there's more than teams awful on the for three quarters, but I said obviously we don't want them to be awful for three quarters.
I'm not gonna get away with that again. But I don't know that that's going to happen either. I just don't know how much of an improvement those first three quarters are going to be. Again, this will be a much longer discussion when we actually get to the season. Let's move on.
Week 2, noon, on the lake. Ugh. Against...
Hot dish.
Yes, against...
Is it on the lake that you object to there, Slacker?
It's a very revenge-focused ball game in my mind.
Oh, okay.
Against the Vikings with now Kyler Murray steering the ship.
Oh. This week two, like again. Sorry, John is supposed to start. Sorry, I just think early season Vikings. I'm going to have a lot of revenge on my mind. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, no, I don't like a team like this. The Bears facing a team like this early on in the season, similar to last year. I don't like that matchup. That said, this early, I see it as a win for the Bears. I don't see how Kyler's going to walk in here and suddenly torch them.
Haven't the Vikings lost like everyone on defense too?
I think quite a bit. Yes, they cleaned house.
Yeah, Flores could scheme up whatever. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, but he'll work with what they got. Mm-hmm. I think this Vikings thing is going to be a mess.
I think so too, but I just don't like it early on in the season. I think it's something that's going to fall apart. Maybe.
Yeah.
By week three, week four. But early on in the season, I think they're still going to have this belief from last year about how they finished, even though there was still a joke. But yeah, I don't like it. But I'll say it's a win for now.
It's going to be itchy. We won't feel good after it, but it'll still be a win. It'll be like 1917, something like that.
There were so many games last year where I was watching the fourth quarter happen, thinking, I'm not going to feel good even if they do win this game. Right. Then they won the game, and I was like, I feel pretty good.
Well, I don't know if that carries over for a second year, but we'll see.
It will. Win is a win. But
it's hard to get in the NFL.
Yeah, I think to John's point, you want the Vikings at a point where Kyler has been either bad enough or hurt enough that you have JJ on the field again.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing the things that everybody just gets so pissed off about, like just throwing interceptions or missing his man by a billion feet or running and then doing a gritty when you're down by four touchdowns. These are the things I want to see that I think will really tear apart that locker room. You won't be able to get to there by week two. So,
yep.
Unfortunately, the Vikings will probably be full of vinegar, piss, and all those other things. So it'll be a tough one, but I like the home field aspect of it. So I feel good about the Bears taking advantage of that.
All right,
that's a win for me.
So we've got two and O's across the board.
Correct.
Indeed.
All right. Next matchup, the first prime time of the season at home, Monday night against the EAGAELEAEAS Eagles.
EIEIO.
This is at home, yeah?
Yes. Yeah, it's Soldiers. I don't like this. I think from last year, again, this is the early season corollary with the Eagles. Some years you want to catch them early in the season, and some years you want to catch them later. And I think the Bears were fortunate last year. They caught them in that type of season where they caught them later in the season. And this, I think next year, the Eagles are probably going to be a little tougher at the front half of the season. And the Bears are going to catch them at the wrong time.
Have they traded A.J. Brown yet?
No. I have to wait for no.
You guys
first,
do Alex Brown yet?
Next week, I believe, they have to wait.
What, because of bonuses?
John, I'm going to disagree
finagling.
With you.
Wow.
I'm in an argumentative mode. I think you do want to catch the Eagles early in this season.
Okay.
Because they're sort of reshaping the whole offense. They're going to make Jalen Hurts throw over the middle of the field.
He bad.
And he doesn't like to do that. That's not going to be a very smooth transition.
No.
I think you will see a very wonky Eagles offense show up here. I think they're going to have kind of the reverse of what they did last year, which is they'll be kind of iffy and everyone will be mad and angry through the first half, and then they'll close with a flourish, which they've done before. So I think the Bears get this one too.
Okay.
I would be more inclined to agree with John on this. I think this is one of those, you know, you got us last year. We're coming this year. And I think the Bears lose this game. I need to know more about the Eagles' identity. You know, if they can continue to be the same team they've been, feels like that ship is sailing. I'm definitely open to changing my mind on this come the real show.
The Birds Correct. Have Washington at home and are at Tennessee. They'll be
2-0 coming into Chicago then, most likely. Tennessee, I think everybody feels like is better than they were, but who cares?
Well, they don't have any seed oils anymore, so that's important.
That is true. That is a big factor as to why I think people would be stupid to think Tennessee is going to be some kind of turnaround story. Bob Sala feels like a complete snake oil salesman to me.
Oh, yeah.
And
not seed oils, but snake oil.
No, snake oil. He's
different
he said
oil.
Seed oil's
the
gone.
Bad
he
oil.
The snake oil was gone. I think and Washington, I think, is on the Dan Quinn Express to hell. You know what I'm saying? That's just isn't
yes,
gonna get
yes,
better
yes,
out,
yes,
of, out
no.
of nowhere. That's a bad old roster. We had it right the first time. They fluked their way through our correct analysis. It was just a year too early.
Yep.
Once again.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Sammy Sunshine has got him 3-0 and you 2-1.
Correct.
Vibes and juice all over the city.
At 3-0? Oh, yeah.
Everyone's all in at this point.
All right. Short turnaround. Sunday, 3-game homestand on the lake against Brick and Stick and Hop and Skip and their chatbots, the New York Jets.
Dick and shit and piss and poop.
Poop Johnson.
Poop Johnson has been released by the Toronto Argos. John?
Oh, this is a win. No doubt win. This is,
Is this the Aaron Glenn gets fired game?
It could be.
No one gets fired in week 4.
He might.
Depends how bad they look.
I want to see it, but, and it's all, you know, Ben's old buddy.
Yep. So it's the two Detroit assistants going against each other.
Detroiters.
So it'll be
one black guy, one white guy.
It'll be a big story all week. And
gotta post that photo before the game.
And especially with the Bears coming off a loss on Monday night, this is a good get right game for them. I think
pieces of shit.
They closed that first quarter of the season at 3-1 in my world.
Doing the Lovie Smith quarters.
Yep. Even though that doesn't exist anymore.
I know I have to pick some dumb loss. You know, there's always some stupid loss.
Oh, my God.
But it's not this one.
Thank you.
They can't possibly lose this one. Like, this is not.
No, the dumb loss is going to be in Miami in December.
Of course.
I mean, they'll be in the full tank mode by then. That's going to be really hard to do.
It'll still be 4,000 degrees, and they'll make them wear the blue jerseys down there. And yeah,
yep. They'll have some kick returner.
Well, we'll get to Miami in December when we get to Miami in December. But this is a win, 4-0. Lovie's first quarter exemplary.
Yeah, Bears dominate this one. This is going to be fun. Geno was god awful against the Bears last year in Vegas. I don't expect that to change on the lake.
Is that who
in
Brick
October?
Is that who Brick and Stick brought in for to be their QB?
Oh, Geno's back, baby.
Oh yeah, that's a Dennis Allen get right defense defensive game too.
Yep.
4 or 5 picks. Yeah,
that's one of those games where like the offense just isn't moving the ball, but every time the Jets get the ball, it's just like a turnover.
Yep,
it's gonna be great. Like the Saints game last year.
All right. Staying with the green theme, that team up north, America's
sake.
Game of the Week, Sunday, October 11th.
putting this
you weren't
week
ready
five
for this
is,
one, Slack.
No, and putting this at week 5 is bullshit.
It is. It feels very stupid. Intentional that they want Micah's first game back to be against the Bears.
Very purposeful.
Yes, very, very purposeful and intentional.
What was the one North used?
Purposeful.
No, it was purposeable.
Purposeful?
Yes. the gooch got drilled. To me, it looked like it was purposeable.
He says gooch?
Well, he was talking about Tadahito Iguchi.
Oh, okay. Not his crotch.
Well, could, hard
you
to
never,
know.
You never know with your guy Pappy.
Yeah. You hey, tell us. You speak his language, apparently.
And you've got to be, and you only got to be like a block and a half from Pappy Land out there now.
Oh,
he's the mayor of Park Ridge.
Do we know where he lives?
No.
Okay.
I think he lives along the lake there.
Murphy Lake?
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, what I wouldn't do. It's nice.
Yeah, it's crazy. Massive homes. That's yep. Pappy Land.
Oh boy.
I think. Anyways, yeah, I got this. Bears going up into Lambeau. They almost pulled it off last year. I have supreme confidence that they'll go up there and win this year.
So, okay. Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you didn't.
Sam?
You can go, Slack, if you'd like.
Well, I'm setting the stage because this is a important part of it. It's a 325 game, and it's October 11th, so I don't think we've had the time change yet, so it's going to be one of those might be still nice out, good sunset game, you know, halfway mm-hmm. type of thing.
You know, I think that's
those
my
vibes,
favorite.
Those vibes are very, very, you got to acknowledge that.
Or it could be pouring rain.
It could be. Absolutely true.
Well, it's Green Bay, not Seattle.
No, I mean, we've had our share of monsoon games between the two of us, although that one I can think of was here.
Yep.
Man. I mean, the Jordan Love, like, EPA bullshit is still very prevalent within football circles. They love his little efficiency and his hooping. I don't understand how the Packers got better.
And they might not have a running back.
It does feel like they might not have a running back if the league is taking this seriously, which hopefully they do.
They probably won't, though, considering that, you know, Steve Tisch is over the Epstein files 4,000 times and Roger Goodell thinks it's fine, so... But
well, he's not a running back.
Yeah, so he's a billionaire. He's a billionaire.
So I just, you know, without the ghosts part, and I still think if anybody's got heebie-jeebies at this point, it's that Packer locker room who's going to have to, like, sit there and either talk shit, which is going to be embarrassing, or they're going to get in their own heads and see if the Bears can take advantage of that, because I think the Bears are going to walk into Green Bay feeling very – very confident. So let's say it's a win. I'm going to give this a win.
Yeah. There you go.
Bears win.
No. I don't like it. I feel like the Packers will get off to a kind of a wonky start, like 2-2, because they'll have this one circled. This will be the one they're going to use to salvage their season. But this will be the highlight of their season, a close win, and then it goes all balls up from there. And then
they have Vikings, Jets, Atlanta, Tampa prior to the beloved heading.
Okay,
up
so maybe 3-1. Like, so, but not looking good while doing it because they're just waiting for this one. This one means way too much to them.
That's fine. They're just short. They're short on talent. They don't have the impact players that they had last year. They just don't. They're replacing all those guys with guys who aren't proven. I know that they've done it before and it just kind of works. But they got a new defensive coordinator. Micah Parsons won't be all the way healthy. And
not
playing,
a new defensive coordinator.
No, not
well, he
new.
Might be. He might be.
He might be healthy, but he won't be 100%.
No, I meant nude.
Oh, nude. Yeah. The receiving core is worse. Tucker Kraft, if he's playing, he'll be like Micah Parsons, probably a little bit, you know, limited. I don't think guys coming off their ACL just are themselves immediately. I mean, it could happen. Like Matt said, the running game, you know, again, their offensive line is not as good. There's just a lot that they've done that doesn't inspire confidence unless you're a delusional Packers fan.
Yeah, I'm not saying they're good. I'm just saying this one gives me the
so focus. My point was in saying that was because you're like, oh, they'll come in because based on their opponents, they'll be like 3-1 or whatever. I don't think that's true. I just okay. You're giving them like the
wait, is
the
that edge. Vikings game at Green Bay or in Minnesota?
Hold on.
I would think in Minnesota.
In Minnesota, yes.
Okay, so three, it could be 2-2.
325.
Yeah, it's not going to be a pretty game. I'm not going to think the Bears are worse than the Packers after it, no matter how it goes. Probably very close. I just think, like, there's way more writing on this for Green Bay than there is for the Bears. And by the time they meet again in December, I'm fairly sure the Packers season will be in ruins. Susie.
Well, they should win the game so that it's in ruins faster.
Okay, fair enough. I'm all for it. I'd vote for it. It's like, I don't think it's going to happen.
This is what we're literally doing. You realize that. We're voting for it.
Yeah, I'm down to 4-1.
Okay.
We're all at 4-1 then.
We're all 4-1.
Fair.
And from 4-1, they go to Atlanta, where the players play.
Ryan Pace revenge.
Is that another Thursday?
Nope, that's a Sunday the 18th at nooner.
Yep. Traditional start.
Yep.
Yes.
What's the Thursday game other than Thanksgiving? Is there
Patriots
the following week?
Thank you. My bad.
Trying to get ahead of things here, Sam. Come on now.
I just had it in my head that this one was on Thursday.
What do you think, Matt's lying to you?
Look, I can accuse Matt of a lot of things, but lying to me is not one of them.
All right.
John. I'm not gonna lie to you, Marge.
I just walk away. I never liked the Bears playing down there.
No, never.
It never feels good. Never goes well.
No.
The last time we were there, wasn't that the stupid what's his name comeback?
Nick Foles. Feels like it. No, they had a game. Fields played a game down there that was awful. That they lost, I think, by two scores or maybe one score.
Well,
hard to believe. A Justin Fields game.
Oh, right, because he's from there.
The archivist. Yeah. You want to effort this?
No, they lost. I remember that they lost with Fields. I don't remember the score, but it was definitely a one score game, and he had the ball at the end and did nothing with it. I think went 4 and out.
As we love to do.
But nothing down in Georgia ever feels good when the Bears play. So I got this one chalk up as an L. It's the Ian Cunningham revenge game, and make it 4-2.
Money on the board.
Piss and vinegar after a great loss in Green Bay. Ben's not gonna let him leave the facility for a whole week, just like they do in Italy. So they're gonna absolutely eviscerate this team. This feels like a blowout. We're righting the wrongs of the past here, John. So I'm putting this one in the win column.
In the dome, I think it's gonna suck. I'm gonna give an L, loss to this one. Just bad vibes, stinky.
Michael Penis Jr. slanging it around, or is it Tua now?
It's Tua. It's one or the other. Does it matter?
Penis Jr.'s double ACL surgery, I'm sure, went great, but
I may change this game this will be one that I probably change as the season gets closer and
it's
I get a better
Tua
look.
It's not Tua so much that worries me as Bijan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
fair.
I'm factoring in more than just Tua being a corpse, which he is.
Right.
Yeah, they're gonna will route them to death.
Yeah, it's gonna be short crap. Garbage. No honor.
All right. Then we got the quick week back home against Horny Mike and the Patriots.
A lot of horny on the schedule.
Yes, a lot of horny. Thursday night.
Mike.
Thursday night always favors the home team, so I like the Bears being at home for this. I'm going to say that this one is a win. I think New England's going to have an iffy season anyways.
Against world class top of the league quarterback Drake May, you think they can pull out a win?
I'm not feeling it, and I also think this will be a revenge game from the first Eberflus season, where this was the game I believe he got fired after, or someone got fired after this game. I think it was Shane got fired after the New England game. So this will be a good,
horrible. Oh my God.
This will be a good revenge game for Caleb. 5-2.
Yeah. If this were in New England, I would pick New England, but Thursday night weird things happen, but they usually happen to the away team.
Unless it's the Bears in Philadelphia, my friend.
That was a Friday.
God damn it. Really? It was. Yes, it was. I saw Prime Video and got in my head. Okay, go ahead.
That
was on Netflix.
That shouldn't make a huge difference, but it makes a difference. I don't like being out here at 6-1, but you know, here we are.
Fortune favors the bold. That's what Crypto told me.
I'm gonna stick with my hypothesis that Horny Mike is going to have a team that is rife with chaos. They're going to follow their leader.
And crabs.
Do as I do, not as I say. And they're just going to be a dysfunctional unit. And all the good things are going
I thought
to
he
be...
went to counseling for his dysfunctional unit.
Well, his unit was...
I don't think his unit was dysfunctional. That's the problem.
It was errant.
Pointing the wrong way.
Too much club.
Watch, listen, he did not watch day three of the NFL draft so he could counsel... Or sorry, seek counseling with his wife. And yeah, that doesn't say I'm committed to this relationship, I don't know what.
And he was still available by phone.
Boy, yeah, if you need me, if you
anything
need
else
me.
Could be more for show than that. I don't know.
One of the most just embarrassing. It's not even embarrassing that he got caught cheating. It's the way that,
I don't know, that
all the shit 8-carat
purple diamond that Kobe gave Vanessa right after all the Colorado stuff is pretty.
Pretty for show.
Well, at least Mike's was consensual.
Yeah, that means that we know.
For 7 years.
Yeah, more than consensual.
It was extremely consensual.
Actively avid.
And it was also sensual.
Was that week 7?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
All right, and then they finally go with the mini bye Thursday to the following Monday.
Oh God, so, not looking forward to this.
That'll be a long
too long
week.
Too long, yeah. Too long. I hate that.
Seattle.
Ugh. No.
That was done. Nope. That was done in the that was done in the crusty voice.
Come on, ya.
It's, you know, just had the thought that it's pretty sad that I have to differentiate to make sure that even my close friends know that I'm differentiating between my own speaking voice and Krusty the Clown.
In the end, it doesn't really matter.
No, it really doesn't.
All right, Chester.
All right, so across the board, L's. Just yes. no way out of this one.
Bridge too far, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I don't. I
even
don't like
with
this
the
one.
Layoff,
as the season gets closer, I may feel a little better about this one. But
no, you won't.
Really
right
be
now.
In your oats then. Yeah. Yes. No, I'm sorry.
Johnny Blue and Orange, well, ready to fucking fly out to SeaTac.
as the week arrives, I might be more. Hyped about it. If the Bears are 5-2 and 7-1, as Sam's got them or whatever,
6-2 now.
Yeah.
Just because we're predicting a loss doesn't mean you can't be hyped about it going into the game.
Yeah. But no, I think this will be a loss. So 5-3.
John, you're going to be frothing at the mouth before this one, no matter what you predict. Like, this is going to be your litmus test. This is going to be your. I know
night.
How you work. 13 days or 11 days between games. Oh God, you're going to be in a froth.
You're gonna have Troy Aikman talking about how Caleb didn't call him back, and it's gonna be a mm-hmm.
yeah.
Thing.
You're gonna be bouncing off your own walls.
Yep.
Mute lounge.
You're gonna have to have your partner put up padding.
More than usual.
Yeah. At what did I say? 5 and they'll be at 5-3. People will they'll start to, and if they lose on Monday night, coming off a bad loss in Atlanta like that, yeah, I could see the annoyance level, the agita rising due to the national talking head. So, yeah, I'm not going to feel good about anything about this loss. But, yeah, I don't like it.
Matt Abatacola calling for Ben Johnson to be fired.
Yeah, a lot of questions about Caleb's play and whether he can win a big one, even though he's already won a playoff game against their most hated rival.
And following week, last one before the bye.
Short week now.
Yeah. Sunday night football.
Sunday night.
Against Tampa.
Oh, Chris right. Collins, three straight prime time.
Yep.
Yep. And I think just like the way they opened up my season with the 3-game homestand, winning 2 out of 3, I think they'll win 2 out of 3 in the primetime games. I think this one is a good get right game for them. I don't think Baker and Todd Bowles are going to be able to recreate any magic, what little magic that they've had. So I see this Tampa thing going south real quick this year, and I think this one's going to be
they hang in there every year because of the division they play in, I feel like.
Yeah, but
what I'm saying is I agree they're nothing special at all.
Right.
Baker's a check down merchant.
Mm-hmm.
Check down bitch merchant.
That's right.
I see this Tampa thing going really bad this year, though. I think this is going to be one of those years where Tampa maybe is picking in the top five.
Yeah, you could see it falling apart. It's a flimsy, it's held together with tape anyway. There's not much connective tissue here, so I think this is a win.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have this as my dumb home loss. No reason for it. There's just going to be one loss at home that's completely stupid and sends us all into a fury. The podcast is always one of the best ones of the year following that one. I'm going to be telling John I don't want to hear it at least 7 times after this. No reason for it. I just got to pick one game. They lose at home for absolutely no fucking reason, and it's going to be this one.
So what do you got them at then, Sam?
6-3.
So we're all 6-3 heading into the bye then.
Yeah.
That seems reasonable.
Yeah, I wouldn't complain.
It's not like
I shouldn't, but I will.
It's about to get a little meatier after this next one.
It does.
Oh boy. Oh god.
Okay. So they get the bye. Oof.
Jesus.
Bye, and then once again, Saints at home. Reslack
can't lose that game.
What, Reslack will get to go at the internet people again.
Perhaps.
Yep. The mouth breathing bozo from New Orleans isn't going to do anything with Taylor Shaw or whatever his name is. Shoe or
Schiff.
Schiff.
Shit.
Whatever.
Taylor
whatever
shit.
Stupid magic that they claimed happened last year is not going to last very long this season. And this is a perfect time to be playing the Saints, because their season will be right in the toilet. They'll probably be in the midst of a 4 or 5 game losing streak. They're not going to have much to play for. This is a nice win coming off the bye week. And I think it'll be a nice statistical game for Caleb, because I think he'll look back at last year's Saints game probably cost him 4,000 yards in the season. So this will be a good statistical game for the offense as well as final score.
Yeah, off a bye, not having it. They're gonna this will be a comfortable Sunday afternoon stroll for us, the kind we like.
Yeah, you can't lose this game.
Just sink back into the couch by the third quarter. I have your eyes go over to red zone more. Yeah, easy peasy. 7-3. Fuck you.
Fuck you.
All right, then another short week in Detroit. Thanksgiving against the Loins.
So my new corollary for the Bears, my new rule, until Ben beats the Lions, I'm not picking them to beat the Lions. So this is a loss.
I think that's fair.
This is a loss. Until proven otherwise, every Detroit game is a loss for me.
Yeah, this feels like the death rattle game for the Lions. Like everything's teetering on the edge. They have to win this one to stay, you know, to keep basically this window open. You know, and
in week 12?
Yeah, you know how these go. Thanksgiving, like, that's a big deal for them.
It's a big deal, but, like, that suggests that they're...
I mean, if like, they're, like...
a game under at that point or something.
Well, no,
you know?
But if they're, like, yeah, 6-5 or something, and the playoff picture's shaken out a certain way, and it's, like, have they been passed by the Bears officially, you know? I don't know. Okay. I haven't looked at their schedule. But, you know, you lose this and you're 6-6. It's pretty dicey. So this feels like, yeah, just kind of a death rattle game. Bears lose a heartbreaker, I feel like.
Yeah, I have a loss. I don't think I'm with John on the corollary. There's just nothing that made me feel like they had much of a clue about how to beat Detroit, or at least stopping them felt like impossible, even though sometimes in that second game they managed to get some stops. But it's just like, until you can prove to me that you can stop those crossing routes, which they just could not figure out how to do, which is funny because the guy wrote the fucking offense is literally in the locker room, but I don't know. Hopefully you got somebody faster than CJ Gardner-Johnson trying to run across the field with these guys.
Yeah.
Is that Texas guy they drafted fast?
Yeah.
If he's
yes.
Okay. Use him. Let him do that then. But they're going to lose.
Yep. 7-4. Yeah. To Sam's point, I could see it being a bigger game for Detroit, where if they beat the Bears, they can gain a game on the standings. And then, you know, they're, six, you know, whatever they are, 5-5 at the time, make it 6-5 and
be one game behind,
right?
As we have it,
mm-hmm. Yes, I could definitely see that being the case.
All right. Next, on the lake, Nooner against Jacksonville.
Ugh.
Jacksonville in Chicago. So by December, I'm thinking that the temperature is really going to take a dip. I don't recall the Jags ever playing well in a cold weather situation.
Didn't they beat the Broncos last year?
No. And was it cold?
I think so.
I mean, I know they beat the Broncos with Brunell versus Elway in 97, but I'm pretty sure that was like a 60-degree day in Denver that day.
Effort. Please get the effort.
They beat the Broncos on December 21st.
Well, and what was the forecast there, Skilling?
I don't fucking know. I'm going to guess.
It's part of your premise.
It should be in the almanac.
Yeah, it's part of your premise. You need to find out.
Yeah.
I'll effort Slack you.
I got it. Christ's sake.
Almanac.
Anyways, I don't see Trevor having a good game. This Liam Cohen thing also feels like it's kind of held together by chewing gum and popsicle sticks. They had a really nice season last year because I think their running game was excellent due to Travis Etienne. But he's gone. So,
yeah. Oh my God. Guess what, John?
What?
It was 62 degrees.
Was yep. it really?
Thank yes. you.
That happens in Denver, I guess.
Yes,
it does.
Of course it does. So I.
They're closer
I,
to the sun, like John's closer to the router.
Mm hmm. That's why they get such good reception.
Yes, yeah. We want to avoid an unseasonably warm Chicago day.
But no, I think that the Bears will win this one. So that makes eight and four. 8-4 in my world.
I agree with John. Mini bye here. Ben stewing after a Lions loss. Yeah, that's a win.
All right, then the next Sunday at noon in Miami.
Can I provide a quick statistic?
Please do.
The Jaguars have an all-time record of 2-5 in regular season games played with a kickoff temperature below 32 degrees.
There you go.
Below 32 is hardly a guarantee, but, you know, yeah, whatever. We're not winning here.
No.
Trevor Lawrence isn't gonna zing passes to you in the cold.
Does he suck now?
No.
No, he had a good year last year,
but like I said, I think a lot of it was buoyed by their running game last year because they had such an outstanding season from what's his face that I can't say his last name. And he's gone.
He's not the automatic Hall of Famer that was projected, but he's like pretty good.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure he signed elsewhere, right?
No, I meant Lawrence. But...
Oh, but yeah. Oh, right. Lawrence is the generational QB. Yeah. I think he's fine. I don't think that
he's fine to pretty good so far.
And he's going to have some seasons where he probably takes them on a decent to long playoff run. I don't think it's this year, but yeah. He's not going to win here in December, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, whatever else he does outside of that is none of my business.
Mm-hmm.
John, in case you're curious, Etienne is a saint.
Well, there you go. They're gonna paste
like Dorothy
his ass
Mantooth.
In week 11. They'll paste his ass in week 11. And then paste Liam's ass in week 13.
A lot of ass pasting.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be confused with ass waxing. That's different.
That's very different.
All right, so what are we doing in Miami here, gang?
This Miami thing, to talk about the schedule, I prefer the Bears playing down here in week 14. I like it better than perhaps week 3 or 4.
Oh, God, no.
Where it's 1,000 degrees. Yeah. So at 8-4, I also think that this Miami thing is ready to just self-combust, and this is going to be a huge rebuilding year because what do they? They have nothing, right?
They have nothing.
And
nothing. So
Halfley's trying to rebuild the culture, and he's kind of a doofus anyways. So, yeah, this is a win.
Give Ben any trace of green and gold to look at, and he's going after it. So
yeah.
they'll be actively taking. They'll have traded anyone useful by this point. They will be actively trying to be bad. So no, this is a win.
I'm excited to hear how he talks about Jeff Hafley leading up to this game.
Right.
Is he calling him like a Packer son of a bitch? Or is he, you know, now that he's not there anymore, is he going to say like, oh, I've always liked Jeff Hafley. Great guy. I doubt it. And I think the Bears win this game because Miami is a sack of shit. That stinks. And that Malik Willis crap. Fuck off.
Yeah.
No.
They'll get a game plan for it this time.
Yes, the whole league will.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The book is out on Malik Willis.
And there's no way he's going to be standing by week 14.
No.
Does he get hurt like after like two or three games constantly?
Yes.
Yeah. So.
And he's bad.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. He actually, it says here he ran a bunch of read options against an that nobody knew how to prepare for. So he's good. Sorry. Fuck off. Sucks.
So that 8-4 then?
9-4.
Okay.
And then from Miami to Buffalo on a Saturday night, fucking up my Christmas party plans.
Ugh. This game I just have to say
with Nance and Romo on
December 19th on a Saturday evening in Buffalo is going to be telegenic, I'll put it that way.
In their new digs, though. Yeah, they're going to be in their new digs. Yeah.
Which is kind of a bummer. But I'm sure the Buffalo fans will make it an occasion.
I think the new digs, though, might have a chance to be even louder because if I believe the stands are covered. So it will reverberate.
I'm sure that
it's going to be a thing.
Audio engineers in there. But does this thing, like, is this close to teetering on collapse even after firing 9/11 motivational speech Sean McDermott?
I think it might be, but I don't know. Anyway, John's got to leave himself.
I don't feel confident going into Buffalo and winning this late
in the
season.
And the reason he's not confident.
The coaching change is a factor, though.
Yeah, I think that Buffalo is going to have a decent season. You got to think they're on basically their last shot. With this,
Josh Allen just turned 30.
Well, with this group of players other than Josh
injuries.
Allen, yeah.
Does anyone revenge game?
Yeah. No. Does anyone else get like white rapper vibes from Joe Brady, or am I just alone on this?
I don't know enough about it.
Okay.
It depends on which white rapper.
A bad
Liz man. Fair,
Brian Scalabrine.
I'm going to say 9-5.
He's kind of the squinty like Brother Ali.
There you go. Thank you.
I'm with John. Saturday night in Buffalo in December. That feels a little too far. They won't get waxed or anything, but yeah, they lose a close one.
Yeah, I think if you're asking to predict a game, and if you're saying Bears win at Buffalo in the cold on national TV, I think You're just saying it. It doesn't. Yeah. No.
How will we get any? Will we get any Super Bowl preview potential honking off from the
Bears?
Yeah. If the record is what we're saying it is, then yes, for sure.
If they're 9-4 headed into Buffalo, and Buffalo's got at the 8-10 win mark, absolutely. Yeah.
So no one's got that as a win, though.
No.
All right. And then from that to how about this in your stocking and in your fucking chimney?
Oh, boy. Short week, too. Oh, you know what? That reminds me.
No, long Bills... week.
No, Saturday to Friday.
Oh, right. Christmas
it's horrible.
Day.
It's a stupid I will say week. This. The other thing about that Bills game is there's a potential for being looked past as well.
Yeah. Well, it can be because games against the AFC, you know, you can fade those.
It's impossible to think they're not going to be thinking about Christmas.
Yeah. John, Christmas Day. I don't know where you'll be spending it, but I know wherever you'll be spending it, you'll be carving time out.
Yes, and this is a win. There's absolutely no question in my mind. Ben in late season games versus the Packers. Caleb in late season games with the Packers. It's a new dawn.
It's a new day.
It's a new Christmas morning. This is a 10-5, and I'm going to say this probably clinches the division for them. If not the division, then for sure a playoff spot.
I'm putting this two game stretch right here, going through the two games at home right here. That's where the phrase pig's blood comes back into the vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
John's going to be shirtless for 2 full weeks covered in pig's blood, maybe virgin's blood too. This is where the froth really hits the ceiling. They're going to win these
like
two
in
games.
Scary Movie, the original.
And they're going to lock the division down hard these 2 weeks. So this is a win. This ends the Packers season. It's wheezing by the time they get here. Barely hanging on to a wild card spot. Take it in the moon from Caleb, and that's it. For years to come, this is the changing of the guard right here.
This game will have one of the most obnoxious atmospheres that the Bears fans could ever hope to provide.
This is the ghost of Lance Briggs on Christmas
this
Day.
This is going to be like whatever they were last year, which was a different level of Bears fans at Soldier Field. Now that they have seen it,
tasted it,
and believe
it. This is going to be, I can't even describe. I can't wait. It's going to be unbelievable. So
are we hoping for nothing else from Santa but a snow game here?
A little snow wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Atmosphere. It's going to be good. It's going to be very, very
fun. A little dust on your bean.
And Christmas Day for me is usually very, we don't do a lot, so I think it'll be perfect. It's not like a day where we do too much stuff in our family, like events and bullshit.
And your daughter's not old enough to have a big presents opening ceremony.
I don't know what she'll be like by then, given the fact that she's, every day she's basically doing something she never did before, which is nuts, but yeah, I don't know. I'm not too worried about it. She's going to be watching the Bears game with me. That's what she's
saying. 10-5.
That's exactly
She will
right.
also be covered in pig's blood that you don't know where she got.
Well, that's from the whole hog that's getting spit roasted on the big green egg out back.
Right,
that's
absolutely.
Just the excess blood on that. That's just by accident. That's not any ritualistic anything.
That's a great idea. Suckling pig could probably fit on there. Maybe.
Would, I think.
And then from there, another long week then, Sunday, January 3rd, with the Lions at 3:25 on the lake.
Well, it sounded like Sam already chalked this one as a win because he said
did.
These are the 2 weeks.
I
am still going to stick by my
These are the two
rule.
Weeks of Sam Ed Harris here.
Yeah, I'm going to stick mm-hmm. by my rule that they can't beat the Lions until they actually prove it to me. So I'm not going to pick them. So that's going to be a Lions win. 10-6, still
pig's blood.
Still,
this is it.
Yeah, still division champs. Now just angling for playoff spot or playoff seeding. But yeah,
no pig's blood. The final hurdle in the division is crossed. Jared Goff finally snaps in half. This is it. Yeah, pig's blood. 11-5, or 10-11-5.
Yeah, I think the Packer win week before, you'll see another pretty unhinged group at Soldier Field for this being. And the other cool thing about these two games is I won't be working during them since our company shuts down, assuming they haven't fired me by then. So that's going to be fun. And I think I'm going to just ride the train and give the Bears a win on this one. Which would hopefully allow them to head into week 18 in Minnesota playing Case Keenum or whatever.
Well, I'm or the asshole
or
son,
the
if he's still
son
here.
Son of Ogre.
Son of Ogre.
I mean, Jacoby Brissett's holding out, so you never know.
Do you guys both have him at 11 wins then, heading into week 18?
Sure do.
They could be playing for a potential number one seed at 12-5. Or the 2 seed, I guess. So you're still sitting. You're still playing Case Keenum in a situation like that.
I'm trying to think if LA or Seattle would be like have 13 wins or something or 12 wins because
again
they lose the tiebreaker with Seattle in this scenario.
But they they play each other.
Well, that's obviously. What I'm saying. They'd lose the tiebreaker.
No, I think he's saying Seattle
and the Rams.
And the Rams would be playing each other.
In Week 18?
Well, no, not in Week 18. Thereabouts, just overall, but like...
Well, if you think, okay, who's going to be the number one seed in the NFC? Like, there's two contenders, right? No one in the South. We know that.
No one in the East.
No one in the East.
John's Niners?
No, they're done.
No.
If Detroit is truly starting to crumble and the Bears beat them in the final... Or sorry, not the second final, the second to last game. I think Green Bay is average to bad, and the Vikings are bad.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got the division locked up, I guess the only thing, like you said, would be the number one seed. Which I guess the way they've got it set up these days is that it's hard to lock that up going into it. It's like they've kind of made it so the final game is going to matter.
Yeah, I think the Bears take this week off.
Ben doesn't take weeks off. He really doesn't. He didn't last year.
They still had like a mathematical chance, right?
Yes.
It was like outlandish.
There was something.
No, I feel like Seattle or LA or something will be at 12 wins. The Bills will be at 11, but they won't be able to catch them because of like tiebreakers or something. So I'll give this one to Vikings to finish at 11 and what am I at here? 12 and 5?
You got them at 11 and 5 going into the final week. No, so 11 fuck and
that. Yeah, no, that's not good enough. Yeah, it's good enough. No, don't actually. They beat the Vikings even with Son of Hoger. 12 and 5.
Yeah,
yeah. I think they're going to win this one in Minnesota. Close out the season. This Vikings
team
actively
tanking too.
Right. Who are done? Finally, yeah. They're not going to have their end of season magical 5-game winning streak where they played 5 teams that didn't give a rat's ass,
right?
And trying to say that it's momentum in the next season. No, you're done. You're finished.
Go sit down, bitch.
Go sit down. 11-6. And I'll say that the Bears will probably lock up the 2 seed with a record like that. Although, did they have that last year? Did they have the 2 seed last year?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So second year in a row, second 2 seed in a row.
I like it.
We're not doing playoff predictions in case anyone's wondering.
No. We never do.
No, pig's blood. Yep. There you go. Are we all at 12 and 5?
Yeah. I had 11 and 6.
Okay. Slack's at 12 and 5 with me.
Yeah, the difference is we both picked Detroit and John didn't. Or we picked the Bears to beat Detroit. And John
didn't. Yes. Well, Slack being in agreement with me makes me feel better, always.
As it should.
It's one of those things where that's going to be a successful season, but you kind of have to pair it with whatever people decide would be classified as improvement for the statistical prowess of one Caleb Williams.
Which will never be good enough for some people.
No, it definitely won't be. But it's good enough for me, so I'll be happy. Everyone else can be miserable.
Just the way you like it.
Yep.
All right, that is it for our dry run dress rehearsal for the best show of the year, which makes it the second best show of the year. We will be back with the best show of the year in the first week of September, as I said. Do we have any business to clean up? Hawks Corner? John, do you want to do a White Sox Corner? You're feeling your oats down there.
Sox Corner's been canceled.
It has not been canceled. You've been texting us all night with your fucking bows.
Yeah, but now it's been canceled.
You're sitting there, you just bow to no one in your house. Don't tell me White Sox Corner has been canceled. Bullshit.
It's over.
It
doesn't matter.
It's a fluid situation.
It is fluid.
Apparently from hour to hour.
It is. Andrew gets it.
Let me tell you, folks. John is feeling himself about the White Sox. He's in his kimono.
Should have taken my bet.
Yeah, should have. Oh, well.
Yeah, you'd be getting a dinner.
Boom.
No, nothing to discuss on the south side, Sam.
Next week, John's going to be here covered in pig's blood over the socks.
Could be.
Telling me.
Tonight's game was frustrating. This one was – if they would have won this one, I would have had some real baseball magic flowing through me. But, yeah, this one, they lost it in extra innings, which always just leaves a bad taste in my mouth, no matter what. Because especially when it's against fucking assholes like the Twins, it's just aggravating. Especially when the Twins make mistake after mistake and don't get punished for it.
Well, that's because the Sox are still kind of bad, John.
Yeah.
John, you baited them into making you do Sox Corners.
I know. Sam's really good at that. So, anyways, Phil. Sox Corners canceled.
Right. Well,
what would Hawks Corner even be?
Well, there's no Hawks Corner. The mock drafts are fake, kids.
The mock drafts are driving everyone nuts, although right. I like how they keep shaking out. I do want to say, as I wrote in the newsletter today, I'm a little alarmed by this latest Powers article, because we know Scott doesn't get this stuff from nowhere, about them wanting to sign another veteran.
Just Trey Corch. Just Trey Corch and put us all out of our misery. Put the kid out of his.
I thought that was common knowledge that they wanted to do
it
that.
It seemed like it's not. It seems
that's
like
not surprising
it was.
To me. Yeah,
but
that's not surprising.
It's contradictory, and no one ever asked about it, because when they made all the trades, they're like, well, this is the kids' team now. We're turning it over to the kids. It's time for them to take over the team.
Well, it didn't
and
go
I was like,
very
well,
well.
We need a veteran D-man to show the kids the way. Well, which is it?
Morgan Riley on his way.
They're going to sign or trade, probably sign somebody or trade for somebody who's.
Morgan Riley who sucks.
It's whatever Matt Grelchick was, but maybe this time it'll be a little more intentional than. Oh, nobody wants him.
Right.
He's not going to be a last they get sign. Other than someone no one wants.
Jacob Trouba, John Carlson, Jimmy Oleksiak, Rasmus Anderson.
No, John Carlson can still play. He'll have suitors.
Gary?
What?
Suitor?
Yeah.
No, Morgan Riley is your guy, Sam.
Yeah, that's absolutely who, is, and he stinks.
That's who they'll get.
The Andrew Shaw Trophy goes to...
Well, and will they do it for Corch, though?
Hopefully, for his sake.
I don't know why people think they would get anything for Corch.
Well, Morgan Riley, they would. I'm sure Toronto...
I mean, you could convince the Leafs.
Morgan Riley's
going to
get bought out, from what I saw the other day.
Okay. Nevertheless, yeah, it sounds like, from what I hear,
that's a long goddamn buyout.
I know.
Yeah, it sounds like Korchinski's a buy low candidate.
He's got a full no move, though. Can you even buy out someone with a no move?
Well, he's not going to fucking say yes to a trade to Chicago if he has a full no move. Why would he do that?
So
this guy who hasn't won anything before.
So the Reddit perverts are doing like three different steps ahead. Let's just do. All right. Where's the fucking.
No, the Morgan Riley thing came from. Matt, the Morgan Riley rumor came from your guy in Puckpedia.
All right, let's buy Morgan Riley out here, and let's see how fucking much the dead money costs against them.
Not only did it come
it's
from
not the Hawks' problem,
I know, but would they be able to fucking bite that?
The problem with it is they do something where they let fans make moves in their little playground, and then they see who's doing the most moves. And I guess Morgan Riley getting here was something like a bunch of Hawk fans were doing.
Oh, okay. Okay, so then it does probably...
So it is a pervert thing.
Yeah, it does wind its way back to the pervert thing. I didn't realize that. I thought it was a guy actually...
It's not even about Morgan Riley. It's about what is the messaging here? What is the method? You said this was the kid's team. Is Artem Lefshunov going to know where he is on the ice because some grizzled vet who can't go anywhere else is on the team?
Right.
That's coaching. That's development. That's his own skill.
How
fuck's sake, Alex Vlasic's going into his fifth year. Isn't that your veteran leadership?
Yes, Vlasic should be leading your defense at this point.
Yeah. And if he's not, then what do we... Why is he here?
Right, he should be your top, your 1A, 1B defenseman. I mean, that's how it was the last time they built this thing out. It was Keith and Seabrook had already taken over the top pairing. There was no grizzled vet that was showing
even
them 07
the way. Or 08.
Yeah,
I mean, this is Connor Bedard's fourth year. What does he need? What does he need to be taught at this point?
Yeah, if they bring in a veteran defenseman, it just is further proof that they have no idea what they're doing. How well did it work out when they brought Calvin DeHaan here?
Great,
my guy.
Yeah, it just doesn't work. It's just slapping a Band-Aid on something that on a gaping wound.
All right. Anyway, that's enough of that.
Yeah, but stop reading the mock drafts. Stop doing the mock drafts.
Ugh. You're not getting Stenberg, for Christ's sake.
The one thing that I found interesting, Sam, was that all of these mock drafts are saying Stenberg is falling to the Hawks, and then Scott, in his piece with the Hawks, is saying that the Hawks are certain, or all but certain, that those three forwards are going to be gone by the time they pick.
Because
so what does that
logic
tell you?
Dictates. Like, it just the mock drafts don't make any fucking sense.
Or is it that this is what the Hawks are telling him?
You're
because they have the
there's
sort
no
of inside
skullduggery
scoop.
Here. There's
I don't think the Hawks know what San Jose is going to do. How would they know? There's no way.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like teams talk with each other or
no.
guys around the league.
Well,
kind of
we know no one talks to Kyle. That's how he ends up taking the Miko Rantanen's contract. Yeah.
I don't know. I just
take this guy. We can't tell you who. Okay. You call San Jose to find out who are you drafting? Fuck off. Okay.
Well, I guess either way,
no way,
as I talk it out with you all, either way, it's bad the way that Hawks thing kind of shapes out, because if Stenberg does fall to them, then they're really clueless, right? Because it's like, well, we didn't even think this guy was going to get to us. Well, why not? Why didn't you think he was going
to
get to you?
In the end, it doesn't matter. You just take him and then deal with it.
Right.
Well, it's fun. It's just, it will be hilarious if that happens, because then it's just the two best moves Kyle's made are winning the lottery and then having a guy not get drafted before he got to them.
Right, fall to him.
Mm-hmm. Because there is a world where if that did happen, I can see myself being a little bit excited about what those first two lines could potentially do.
But you got to remember, the Hawks corollary, they will always be the worst version of themselves, the low end of the scouting, while this development infrastructure, including the coaching,
like,
in place.
This is like last year, remember when the Sharks had the second pick last year, right?
Yeah, they took
Mesa. Right up a few days before the draft, all of a sudden it was like, hey, they might skip Mesa. The Hawks might
get
Mesa. And then the Sharks did the absolute simplest thing, which was take Mesa, because everyone's like, yeah, he's the second best player in the draft.
Right. That is true.
So
I think Stenberg might be
the best. I think Gavin McKenna might be a total, like, Patrick Stefan-ass bitch.
He's got his own documentary coming out.
He does.
I not a good sign, by the way. I think
big bird looking bitch.
I don't believe the Malhotra to Vancouver stuff. It just feels like stupid. It feels beyond stupid to me.
Yeah, but that's right where Vancouver lives.
I understand that, but that's just like even too stupid for that. I think this Chase Reed guy has a lot of hype, and I don't see him coming to falling all the way to four either.
What about the big Latvian?
The Hawks will get stuck with either having to pick between Malhotra or the Latvian or the other Carrolls or whatever his name is. I mean, Steve Carell.
The Malhotra stuff makes me itchy, because they're like, oh, he had a big OHL playoff. And I'm just like, that.
What is he good at? Is he like a
taking draws? He's a 200-foot game.
I mean,
he
had big scoring numbers in the playoffs, but like, I mean,
if he's like a responsible centerman, maybe there's some value there. But he's still.
Oh, I think he'll be fine.
You
he's
should
probably
be able to
exactly
develop
what
that.
The Hawks don't have. But
I don't know.
I mean, who's the reliable center of all their kids right now?
If
I
it's
can't
not
name
Stenberg
one.
At four or Reed. Because I've gotten
that's just a fucking guy.
About Reed. Then it's just a guy. Then it doesn't matter.
It would be funny if they brought Malhotra here, because his pappy would, I'm sure, wield some influence or try to, and he'd probably take a look around and say, "These guys are all a bunch of fucking idiots."
Did Toronto hire somebody?
Pappy will be coached by the Canucks by then.
Yeah,
but couldn't he be coach of the? Wouldn't the? I thought he was in line for the Leafs thing too, potentially.
No, their number one choice is David Carl,
right.
Toronto.
And then,
but he might tell them to do one.
He hasn't yet.
Well, he takes his time, but eventually.
Does he though? Yeah. The Hawks, it didn't seem like he took very long.
The Hawks seemed pretty quick.
I don't remember though.
I don't see what Toronto has that
I
you want to run to.
No, other than the challenge, no, they don't have anything.
Not a good situation to walk into.
No, supposedly David Carl, I think, is waiting out the Avalanche thing, but.
I don't think that's going to work out for him.
Well, it might. They're saying that Bednar might be on the hot seat, but
well, then
that'd be idiotic. And
if that's the case, then you immediately fire Jeff.
If Kyle had any balls, he'd be on the phone 5 minutes later.
Yeah.
Well,
hey, I'm sorry you got fired. I'm sure you want to call your wife first, but would you come here? We'll give you anything.
Anything.
And you don't even have to take Durs with you.
No. I'm not going to force anyone on you. All right.
Can't turn your back on Anders, dude.
Let's get to the Cretans. I have a couple.
I've got a few here I can rip through, unless, Sam, you want to go first? Or
I only got a couple, so we rip through them. Surf and Duck. Which Chicago sports team will be the first to publicly embrace AI?
Oh, the Hawks already have with the fucking with all the prediction markets where they were getting like sponsored by fucking Kelce and whatever. So,
but the front office stuff, I think, is that what the question means? Like they're gonna embrace AI
say
analytics.
That they have.
I mean, I'm sure they're all using them in some way. Like they, you
but
saw
I,
the.
It doesn't those, mean anything if you just say it,
right?
What does that mean?
Right.
What
like
are
if
you
you're
doing with it?
That's why I picked the Cubs because they like to say a lot of the things they do.
Right.
Pitch lab.
Bitch lab.
And that's what it's become. And the only one I got. I'm sorry, I didn't see where this was from. this is from the Reddit Hawks feed. So I don't know exactly who it's from because that guy just he just follows the Reddit Hawks, right?
He just posts screenshots from the
okay
from Reddit.
Is there a world where we could convince San Jose to swap picks? If so, what do you think the approximate cost would be? No, maybe,
no.
But
what?
They would hold you up. Like if the only scenario I could see is if San Jose has decided they are going to take a defenseman, but they know they can get him at four, but they'll make it look like they're going to take Stenberg, and it probably costs you your other first round pick.
Right? It's next year where the Hawks have three first round picks, so they could.
Yeah, maybe you can get away with
some
that.
Of those. I don't know.
And like one of your draft... 3 seconds this year.
next year's. Is ridiculous. The number of picks they have is absurd.
I don't think it should be necessary, but I wouldn't count on it, but I guess I could see a world where Greer really holds Kyle's over Jim Henry's barrel.
But if you get what you think is the best player in the draft, though, Sam...
Then it's worth it.
Yeah, I mean, I would call, like, to be sure about it. Yeah, it just shit might fall to you or whatever, but no, make the call. I would.
I'm sure.
I mean, again, Kyle jokes aside, I'm sure that he's at least exploring the option. Like, what would it take? Like, you have that conversation, don't you? You have to.
You have all these picks.
Yeah, you have to. You have to be like, hey, listen.
Fuck it, throw Korch in there.
I got a lot of shit here. Do you want any of it? I you know? And if they say no, it's like, fine, but at least you ask.
The San Jose Reddit
freaks. Everyone how they asked.
The San Jose Reddit freaks, by the way, if we're curious, they are
feeling themselves, boy. I'll tell you
they only have interest in right-handed defensemen, right-handed, right-sided defensemen.
Well,
so Korchinski, Korchinski will not move the needle for them.
Rinzel, fine.
Yeah,
fuck it.
Rinzel is the guy that I've seen mentioned in their subreddit.
Send Crevier.
Yeah.
Oh,
send them both. Who gives a shit?
Colorado is fucked.
Yeah, well,
see ya.
Not only is Vegas boring and annoying, they get every fucking call.
Mm-hmm. They're awful. Disgusting.
But then they also have the persecution complex where they think that the league is against them.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
They picked that up from Robin Lehner when he was in town.
And now they have a somehow even more despicable goalie.
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
They go from having literally the nicest guy in the history of the league, a guy even I wouldn't say anything bad about, to Robin Lehner, and now this fucking credibly accused sex criminal. Anyway,
John, over to you.
All right, I got a few here. So, is Deneau the best Hawk to, quote-unquote, get away from the 2010-2015 era of the Hawks?
I don't know.
I mean, Panarin is probably on that list.
But he's a hood ornament.
Yeah, and what has Panarin ever done or won? Deneau, I think, at least won a conference championship.
He won one in the bubble. Who cares?
Post-bubble.
That season doesn't count either.
No legitimate cups for Tampa.
What, they came out of the Canadian division? Congratulations.
Yeah. I would say that he probably is, yes. Panarin, no. And I don't think Panarin got away. They actively... Well, I guess
when
they
actively traded Deneau too,
and they well,
Dale
the worst
and
part
Thomas
about that,
Fleischman.
The worst part about the Deneau trade is that it was bad when it happened. I mean,
Panera trade was bad when it happened too.
Well, yeah, because they traded for Brandon Saad again. Even though we spent a whole couple shows prognosticating about potential things you could get for Panarin, and instead they just got
the guy they already knew.
Yeah.
Which is what they did.
Right.
It's hard to say what Hawk got away because they all came back.
Yeah.
Foligno's coming.
Well, he didn't. Well, Deneau didn't, so that's probably why he is the best.
Yeah, that's probably why he's the one. Well, of the exodus after the first Cup team, I mean, you know, they really missed Andrew Ladd, I think.
Well, they brought him back.
But they brought him back when he was useless.
Yes.
Yeah, Deneau would certainly be team photo.
Yeah, I would say probably Deneau, Bufflin.
Deneau was infuriating because he's exactly what they needed.
Yeah.
Like, they've just been like, oh, we don't have a third center. We need a third. He's right here.
Yeah, he was right there. But you wanted Dale Weiss and Jim Fleischman or whatever his name was.
Thomas Fleischman.
And his vodka.
Okay. These are all from my longtime guy, Andy, by the way. Who is the Martin St. Louis-esque level player who should be coaching the Blackhawks? That would be Dennis Savard.
Get him upstairs.
Is he asking as if we should want that or
no?
Make fun
I think
of?
I think make fun of.
Okay. I mean, we already have a guy who gets us.
Also, it's hard to know because St. Louis never played for the Canadiens. So, are we trying to find a local guy?
Yes,
Edelcheck.
That would be another one. Oh boy, no.
Sloan, Al Montoya,
Chris Chelios.
Put Chelios behind the bench. See how tan he is. He'll be the first hockey game he's watched in 10 years.
10? 15.
If I were Chris Chelios, I wouldn't watch hockey either, man.
No, like, but then I wouldn't go on TV and pretend that I did. I'd just stay on the beach.
Why?
Drunk
They're paying
and shit.
You. You don't have to do anything. You show up and say nothing. Who cares? I would do it. It's great.
I suppose we have to fly cross country to Atlanta. Doesn't he live in Malibu?
It's probably free. He can do whatever he wants. It's great. Yeah. He's got a hose in all the area codes.
Yeah, Weezer shows up to his daughter's wedding and performs.
And then they tell her to go give birth.
Finally...
Still my favorite moment on this podcast.
Put this merch on.
Finally, what is the best Canadian city?
Montreal. I've never been there, but I think everybody would say it's Montreal.
Well, I've now been to the three major ones. I would say Montreal.
You don't think Winnipeg or Edmonton or Flin Flon?
Winnipeg is the St. Louis of...
Everyone says Winnipeg's a toilet. I mean, most people actually think Edmonton's pretty fun, but I you know, it's not going to be...
I mean, it's a real city. It's like it's the size of Philadelphia, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, it's a big place. There's a lot to do there, but it's too north, too cold. But yeah, now that I've scratched Vancouver off the list, like Toronto and Vancouver are great. I really enjoyed my time there, but Montreal's unique.
Well, none of us have been to QC, though.
Don't speak the language, and they're pretty militant about it, so I don't feel like I'd enjoy it very much.
Yeah, it's a different...
gorgeous.
Yeah, and I've heard good things about the Maritimes, too, either like St. John or Halifax or whatever the fuck they got out there. But it's not Montreal.
Fight. You can go get in a big fight in the subway. The store, not the
Metro, not like, the actual, like they have
the
in Montreal.
People mover.
Montreal needs their Metro to go all the way out to the airport, though. Come on now.
Yeah, they do.
What are you doing?
Need airport stop ticket.
I need to go to Montreal. God, it sounds good.
Yeah, you do. You'll enjoy it.
I know I will.
All right, you got anything else, John?
Nope.
Slack was cranky, so we know he didn't post anything.
No.
Slack was cranky.
Ornery,
I believe was the word. All right.
Ike would like to know, in 2002, the USMNT made the World Cup quarterfinals. I remember hearing, wait 20 years, with the resources being poured into USA Soccer, America is going to become a soccer powerhouse. Uh-huh. Now, 24 years later, and despite having more players in big European leagues than ever, USA soccer stinks. What happened?
They don't stink. They're the same. They're just fine.
Yeah, I mean, you say it's 24 years later. We're only talking about four tournaments, which are draw dependent. And all the results are pretty consistent in those. I mean, the depth of the program is still much better, but you're lacking a true top end. You don't have a world-class star. You don't have a guy who can win a game on his own. And you don't have that because the youth system is still fucked up. So we produce more players. We produce better players than we did who go to Europe at an earlier age. But, you know, to be a regular quarterfinalist, that's a hard club to break into. fuck, Slack, how long did it take England to do it?
Yeah, for sure.
So it's disappointing. I would have thought they would have gotten closer to it. They probably should have in 2010. Is that that's South Africa. But, the program is deeper than it was, but they're still running up against the ceiling because they just don't produce a Messi, Ronaldo, Harry Kane, Lamine Yamal. We don't produce those guys. And you need one or two of those guys to really break into the upper club. I mean, I look at that Belgium team from a few years ago that had like an absolute stud at every position. I think they went to like one semifinal. It's hard to do.
Yeah, it is. And England was never like what they are now, which is
right.
We
thought they were when they had like all the brand names and like they all hated each other and they couldn't get past the quarterfinals. Like it's a hard club to break into. Like, fuck, Mexico can't do it either.
Yeah, I thought your piece on Mexico today was good.
Oh god,
Well, I just don't have it in me anymore to care as much.
That's fair.
Men's team fanaticism is completely gone. I really find it hard to cheer against the countries that we're actively trying to destroy for no good reason. Mexico is, they're just loud. They're not anything different. Right. They're not.
I don't think Slack's wrong. I really have to concentrate to separate the world that we live in from this tournament and my allegiances is. And I think each approach is fine. I know, like, it felt like 2002 should have been start of something and it's not. They've also made some just horrible mistakes as far as like coaches, hires, and
what do you think of the Diego Luna thing?
Not a fan. I think he should
of
be
him
on
or the
team.
Decision. Okay.
I think he should be on the team. I don't think I don't get the Claudio Reyna stuff. Claudio Gio. I definitely got Claudio Reyna. He was good. He doesn't do anything, and everything we say, like, oh, well, he's capable of this. I've never seen it. Yeah, yeah, he's never done it when it's mattered. So
negative stuff. He's been a complete penis. Yeah.
So I think Luna should be on the team. I think there should be another defensive midfielder on the team. I'm all itchy. I mean, when you bring in a guy who, like, he can only play 15 minutes.
I saw the starting 11, and I'm like, it looks the same to me.
It kind of is.
I know Balogun had a good year for Monaco, like, whatever.
I mean, that's the difference between this team and the team 4 years ago. They have an actual, honest-to-God, number nine striker who can score. I just don't know who's going to get him the ball.
Yeah.
Luna could have helped do that.
Looking forward to the World Cup because it's one of my favorite traditions where I get to watch soccer and tell Sam why he's wrong at everything.
Yep. It's one of mine, too.
Norway, Scotland, England, all far more interesting to me than the U.S.
Yep, fair.
I'm really excited to see how Norway does. They got a pretty easy group.
Norgi.
Yes, Norge.
Norj.
Oh. It's not. You're all saying it wrong, but that's fine.
Okay.
That's the point.
That is the point.
John, mispronouncing something? No.
Norgi. Who ever heard of such a thing?
Norgi is better than Norj. And then you've got Sverge.
They're bad.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
I mean, there's a few more. Do you want some sports-a-roo or do you want a stupid one?
Always want a stupid one.
All right. Mike Jacoby. People in KC lost their collective shit when Whataburger came to town because Mahomes was instrumental in that happening, and it's aggressively mediocre. What's the one regional fast food chain you wish was available to you?
Jack in the Box.
Well, there is one.
Where?
But it's far away.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I think they just opened one up on the south side, like in Andrew's old neighborhood.
Oh, I can't get down there.
Bojangles for me.
That's pretty good.
Does Waffle House count?
Yes. It's not a drive-thru.
It counts.
It's a chain, but it is not fast food.
You know, we went to Waffle House when we were in South Carolina over the summer, and maybe it was just that particular Waffle House, but it was subpar.
Were you actively drunk and or catastrophically hungover?
Fresh from the airport, so neither.
Well, there you go.
Perhaps that's the problem. Yeah. It was a weekday, you know, middle of the day. They just weren't on their game.
I mean, obviously there's a case to be made for In-N-Out as well.
People hate In-N-Out and it blows my mind.
It's real good, but like we got Culver's here.
We have In-N-Out at home.
They're different. Culver's is great. Don't get me wrong. I got In-N-Out and I was very happy. So I don't know what the problem is, but whatever.
The people that moonlight at Long Room on Saturday nights, they do a really good In-N-Out impression.
Yeah.
There's a lot of places that are doing In-N-Out impressions around the city that Salt is another one that does an In-N-Out impression. I haven't tried the Long Room one, but yeah, there's
Is that Slack's Nephew's Kitchen that does the
Cash's Kitchen?
At the Long Room, or is it the other one?
Yeah, that's Cash's, yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of anything else, really.
Oh, Cash had a big tournament this weekend in Nashville. I don't know if I told you guys he was on the East Coast All-Stars instead of the Team Illinois team.
Okay.
Because the Team Illinois coach called my brother and asked him if Cash would play. And my brother said, well, your son swung a stick at his head and you never apologized. So no, he will not be playing for you. And then all the other teams reached out and Cash became a mercenary, which is a pretty cool story. So he ended up playing for the East Coast team instead.
Wait, Cash swung a stick at someone?
No, Cash was in a camp with the son of the owner of Team Illinois.
Okay.
Who famously and on camera beat up his own son.
Right.
And Cash had a breakaway in camp, and the kid trailing player was this dipshit son who swung his stick at Cash's head.
Oh, you sent us this video.
Going in. Yeah. I sent you video of it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
And he missed. So Cash didn't know at the time, but it's like, what were you going for there? That's extremely violent, and it's not even a game. It's like, fuck you. Team Illinois. Go to hell.
Blow me.
Anyway, good stuff.
All right, is that all we got?
Yep.
Sure.
Sure, why not?
All right, then. Well, there it is. We're in the books.
Second best show.
I don't know when we'll be back, whenever I can be bothered, which is never.
When Sox Corner gets
revved up.
Yep.
And we've got white hot Canes Knights final to break down.
Oh god.
That's terrible. That's like when it was Oilers Canes. Just who wants this?
Right. That was a thoroughly uninteresting Oilers team.
Yeah, it didn't have anybody.
That's Fernando Todd Marchand Pisani with a group.
I don't know.
Anyway, for Matt, for Slack, for John, I am Sam. Thank you so much for listening and downloading. Please rate, review, share, and subscribe to the newsletter. Until next time, Top Guys out.